You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is The Bigger Picture and I'm Meera Sevasodhi, a household name in his country of origin. Pakistani sculptor Amin Gulji is called an innovator of tradition, using metal as his medium of choice. Amin's works are inspired by the rich and spiritual history of Pakistan and range from the purely abstract to works that draw inspiration from Hindu mythology, Buddhist civilizations and Islamic calligraphy. Internationally renowned, he returns to Malaysia for his fourth solo exhibition entitled Cosmic Mambo, and he joins me today to tell us more about his creations of the metal persuasion. Welcome to the show, Amin.
Thank you very much, Meera, and thank you for having me here.
You're most welcome. I mean, arts runs in your family. I mean, your father was the award-winning, globally famous artist Ismail Gulji. Your grandfather was a civil engineer, an artist in his own way, I suppose. But I read that you were actively discouraged from pursuing fine arts by your father. Could you tell us that
story?
Yeah,
by both of them, actually.
Oh, even your grandfather.
My grandfather died when I was very young. But my dad and my mom both thought that art would be very difficult, would be a difficult career to pursue. And it was actually me as well. It wasn't just them. I mean, I agreed with them. I was like, oh my God, you know, I don't want that sort of lifestyle. I want an easy life. I want a paycheck every week, I mean, or month at least. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw them because my father was a working artist. And sometimes we would have money and sometimes we wouldn't have money. It was in art, it's so funny. You do what's in your heart and then you have to live off of it.
Why sculpting?
Well, it's a funny, life is funny. I mean, when I went to university in the States, I went to Yale and... you know, art was, it was just not on the books. I mean, I was like, no, I will not take a single art class. And I did economics because I thought I was going to remain in the States and get a comfortable job somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then this lady, this woman ruined my life. She was this French-American woman, Dominique Malaquais, and she took me to my first art history class, sophomore year. And that, or I think maybe freshman year. And that after that, I was just like, oh my God, you know, this is so much better than looking at graphs, moving back and forth. And so I took another one, then I took another one, and I took another one. And lo and behold, I had a major in it. So I double majored with art history and economics.
Wow.
Yeah.
But did you do economics because you thought it was the right thing to do?
I hated economics.
Was it because of... Family pressure?
No, my parents were actually really sweet. They were just like, you know, beta, you know, at that point they were like, do whatever, you know. But economics was, no, it was me. It was all me. I don't blame anything on my poor parents. It was all me. Okay. It was me. I was like, no, economics sounds really good and I'll get a job and, you know, I'll just stay here and I'll be in a nice suit with a nice car.
Earning loads of money.
Yeah.
Wasn't the case.
What's wrong with that? No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Now, were those early years of being an artist, was it a struggle as you imagined it to be?
It was so scary. It was so frightening for me because it was... But in a way, I wasn't really thinking. And I started off with jewelry. I lived in New York for about 3 years with my friend. And I would make jewelry. And I would sell it in the shops or in the galleries on consignment. And I could eke out a living. And at that time, there were a lot of art jewelry places on West Broadway in New York, and I would sell my things. Mm-hmm. And then one day I decided I want to do larger works, so I came back home.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. And when you came home, what was the reception like? I mean, I'm just thinking,
Well, my parents, I felt, you know, my mother said, listen, Beta, I've lived with one artist all my life. I don't really need another one. And she was really worried because I did well academically and like...
You went to Yale.
You know, yeah. And she's like, you know, she's crying to all my friends. Chalo, if he really wants to come back, we'll do an industry, work for a bank, you know, just artist nonsense, you know. And I really felt for them. It was really funny because when I started off, a sculpture was not being shown in Karachi.
Yeah.
And galleries were very reluctant to show sculpture.
Why is that? Because of Islam?
No, not because of Islam or not also because nobody bought it.
Right.
Nobody really, you know, invested in it. It was a leap of faith at that time. And I remember Ali Imam, where I first showed the gallery that I showed at, and he was my dad's friend. So I cajoled him, I begged him, I pleaded, and I got him to show me. And from there, it just went.
Okay, I'm just curious. Yeah. I mean, were you sort of like in conflict when you decided to become an artist in Pakistan?
Right.
How would you describe the arts atmosphere in Pakistan?
At that time?
Mm-hmm.
It was right after Zia-ul-Haq. And so this was, and Benazir Bhutto, our first female prime minister,
yes,
coming.
Yes,
so
beautiful Benazir Bhutto.
Beautiful, strong, and courageous Benazir Bhutto came in. So there was a real feeling of like freedom and joy and expectation and optimism in Pakistan at that point. It was funny because at that point I was doing works using Gandhara, imagery of Buddha, Krishnas, and a part of my interest was Islamic calligraphy and bringing it into sculpture. And I remember at that time the Gandharas and the Krishnas were really accepted and liked by the people, but with calligraphy, with the Islamic section, there's a little bit of perhaps reluctance, you know, to see that. And I think a large part of that perhaps could have been that, you know, we went through a whole period of Zia-ul-Haq where religion was thrust down people's throats. I don't think you can really thrust religion down people's throats.
Right.
I just don't think so.
Of course.
It must come from the heart.
Do you think there's a lack of understanding of Islamic art history in Pakistan?
Yes. I mean, I think there's a lack of Islamic art history in all Muslim countries, sadly enough. Thank God for the great institutions of the West. There are monks, the people sitting in cubicles at the Metropolitan Museum of Art or at Harvard or Yale or UCLA or wherever there's a seat for Islamic art history. The greatest, I think, champion of Islamic art is Mr. Oleg Grabar, who died this year, January 8th. And the research he's done. I mean, everybody footnotes Mr. Oleg Grabar. Unbelievable, you know? And unfortunately, in Muslim countries themselves, there isn't that much scholarship. But inshallah, one always hopes for the better in the future.
Did you get a lot of flack when you came out and started to sculpt?
Yes.
I can imagine so.
Yeah, I did. One part, my galleryist was very nervous because I was showing Buddhist and Hindu iconography, and next to it was sort of Islamic, the words of God. But, you know, for me, it is all one. I don't see separations. I am a Muslim. I was born a Muslim. I will remain a Muslim. But my kind of Islam is one that is open, that is tolerant, that is confident. There's a wonderful line in the Quran, and it's from the Surah Al-Rahman. It says, which of the favors of God can one deny? And I think that spells it out.
Mm-hmm. And it's taken you through all these years. How long has it been?
Oh, God, I'm an old dog.
You're not.
No, it's been 20 years of work, and it's been kind of like a dream. Like, I kind of fell into it.
Right.
And it just went on. After my first show, I had another show. Even, you know, in the middle, even my mother got comfortable with me being an artist.
God bless the lady.
Yeah, she was a very strong woman. I mean, she spoke her mind, you know. And so it's been sort of this roller coaster, a dream that I was even too scared to have.
Right.
I'll be honest with you. I was too scared to even have this dream, and I'm living it. And it still seems like this incredible blur of just working and working, making what I believe in. And, you know, luckily enough, there's someone here or there who believes in what I believe in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, lack of understanding of Islamic art history aside.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would seem that there is a lack of cultural confidence. But you have managed 20 years, which says a lot, that you have survived in Karachi doing your work. And
my hellhole.
And doing it really well. Well, for 20 years says a lot about Pakistan's, you know, sort of art on understanding of art.
No, I thank my parents. I really thank my parents. You know, because that's one thing. And they were not just, oh, it's just Islamic art. I mean, whenever we traveled, I remember my mother holding her hand and saying, okay, Beta and Betty, here we go through the Louvre. And the next 4 hours would be like tromping. And I'd be like, oh, this is hell. But it's that sense of confidence, of culture. Like, Beta, you come from civilization. But not said, just shown.
Yeah.
You know, and expressed, and the joy, and the depth, and the knowledge. And I really thank my parents for that.
Mm-hmm. And Beta means child.
Beta means son, yeah,
son.
Or child.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right. Coming up, we'll find out more about Amin's art exhibition here in Kuala Lumpur called Cosmic Mambo on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is The Bigger Picture and I'm Mira Sivasodhi. In the studio with me is Amin Gulji, a sculptor, and we're talking about his art exhibition, which is going to be at Wailing Contemporary at the Gardens Mall on the 12th of September. Opening night is on the 14th of September.
That's right.
We're finding out more. Amin, what can we expect at this Cosmic Mambo exhibition?
Oh, gosh, it's a large body for me. It's a really large, large body work for me. And it's just, I would expect people to dance around my work and see it. Because it's an object, it's not a painting. And objects, one, are horrible to photograph. They're really difficult. And there are many perspectives to a sculpture. I mean, when I'm working a sculpture, and people always say, what's the front side? There is no front side. It's an object. It must work on every angle. And if it's a small piece, then you twirl the piece around. But if it's a large piece, you move around it as the work process happens. And so just come, see it, you know.
And we will
experience
also,
it.
It will also have elements of Hindu mythology, Buddhist civilization elements.
Well, it's
element.
My trajectory and where it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I've been, this is my little cosmic dance for over 20 years. And this is sort of, not a culmination, but like a footstop within the journey. And the two series of mine that I'm showing here, that formulate the large part of the show. I started off with a series called Cosmic Chapati. I did my very first piece when I showed 2 years ago at the Petronas.
Mm-hmm.
It was a flat disc. And it was my first Cosmic Chapati. Slowly the disc started folding and bending in space, taking over space, the great idea of geometry, but working geometry through space. So you have the folded chapati, and then you have these like four-quarter chapatis, two halves and four-quarter chapatis, three folded chapatis, and again, just playing and using the idea of Islamic pattern, but taking it into space. And the idea, and for me, those were really, you know, with the world just going crazy around me and my own personal issues, it was a way of me just going within, this sort of ripples and just meditative and quiet, and it was like every millimeter was added and subtracted, and everything was so tight and controlled, something I could control and just sort of dive into. And then after that, I had to explode. So then came my spiders. And for the spiders, I use calligraphy,
mm-hmm.
but it can no longer be read. I use one line from the Quran in Naqshi, from the Iqra, which is the first chapter. And it says, God taught mankind what it did not know. And in the earlier works, you could actually read the line, but now you can't. But I've used every letter and every sort of a bit of the line, every letter, every dot of the line. And I want these spiders to sort of dance in this great mambo.
Wow.
You know, dancing off the ground. I want the sort of kinetic energy that I feel.
I wish everyone could see you right now.
Oh, no, I want them to see my work. Who needs to see me, girl?
No, they have to see you as well.
No. If you see me, you can see my work, touch it. I hope you can feel me because it's so personalized for me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm one of these stupid egocentric artists. You know, it's just me.
I mean, how would you say your works have evolved over the years? I mean, you started off with abstract sculpture,
right,
to wearable jewelry,
right,
to autobiographical forms of depicting yourself,
right,
your family in three-dimensional calligraphy. I mean, how has it evolved?
It's that my cosmic mambo.
Ah.
You know, it's my trajectory. But the two strands of my work, one is this great love for linear precision. And the other is an explosion, you know, it's this organic form. And in an installation that I worked with a Malaysian architect, Mr. Chow Wei, and I've never done, oh, this is the first time I've ever done this. Mm-hmm. Because I don't even take on commissions in my work. I'm really scared of getting anybody involved into my process. I keep people far, far away. Because once I leave my workshop, I belong to everybody. Mm-hmm. But once I'm making the work, I'm just like, please stay away. Even my parents were not allowed into my workshop.
Right. So how did this? I mean, how did you decide to collaborate with Lim Chow Wei?
Holy cow! It was a leap. No, it was a leap of faith because, you know, I've always wanted to. Because, see, there's no tradition of sculpture in Islam, but there's a great tradition of metalwork and of architecture. And a lot of works, like my entrance and my Jawab, I refer to those two traditions. So architecture is something that has always intrigued me. In fact, my thesis was on Mughal gardens, and so architecture is something that's always incredibly intrigued me. So I always wanted to collaborate. And then Chow Wei is somebody I've been seeing over the past 7-8 years. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm familiar and I respect his work. And then I took the leap of faith. I jumped off the cliff. I asked him to collaborate, hoping he'll say no, but he said yes. And then we had a conversation that lasted 6 months, back and forth from Karachi. Karachi, KL, KL, Karachi. And we talked and we talked, and there were no sketches. Neither did I don't draw anything, and neither did he, which is wonderful, because his process was also in his head. My process was in the head. And we had a little waltz together.
Mm. In your mind?
In our minds. Mm. He could say things, I could visualize them, I could say things, and that way you also have no parameters. Mm-hmm. We're going all over the world, and all, you know, we could do this, and we can do that, and we came to this conclusion.
Yep. It sort of culminated with the installation piece, which comprises what, 64 copper leaves?
64 copper leaves in this cube, which is 10 foot by 10 foot.
Wow, that's big.
You know, and I beseech people to walk through it because you really experience it as you walk through the installation. And it's called Charbagh, and that was the greatest innovation that the Mughals brought in garden design, mm-hmm. was this Greek cross. And the Greek cross is very interesting because it's been used by the Hindus for the mandala. It's been, you know, it's the great Central Asian motif. Four rivers of life from the center erupts a cosmic tree. So it's this sort of like symbol that many cultures have used or appropriated over time. Mm-hmm. One of these great human symbols.
Okay.
And then we made this garden. And I really beseech anybody who goes there to walk through it.
Okay.
Experience our paradise.
Oh, we certainly will. Any other highlights, that you'd like to, you know, like us to be aware of when we come for the exhibition?
Oh, just be open. I mean, you know, it's, I'm an anachronism. I mean, I love copper. I love bronze. I love the solidity, the sensuous quality of my material. And I just want people to just, you know, walk around, you know, experience and feel what I feel.
Right.
Because when you're making these things, it's not so conscious. It's this great, you know, they demand to be made. It's the weirdest thing. You know, it's like, they just erupt out of you. They come out of you and they demand to be put into existence.
Sure. I'm just thinking, right, if anyone comes by and sees your work and is inspired by what you do and wants to actually become a sculptor like yourself, what does it take?
Insanity. No, you have to be a little insane, you know. You have to be out of the box, sweetie. I mean, like, and why not? If that is, but you must, it must be a fire. Because it is, it must be a fire that burns within. It must be all or nothing. Or at least that's the way I see it. I mean, probably I'm the idiot. But throw yourself within.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I've done. Just throw yourself within.
Right. And this is the fourth time you're coming to Malaysia.
I know.
And it was really interesting to hear that you had 18 working Malaysian artists that you hosted in Karachi.
Well, thanks to Wei Ling, the gallery that I've been dealing with for 8 years now, I really wanted, because, you know, very rarely do we have a South-South dialogue. And I really wanted Malaysian art to come to Karachi. Not as a workshop, like some artist comes for 2 weeks and plays with sticks and stones, because that's not a finished work. I know finished works take time. You know, 2 weeks is not enough to really resolved something. And I wanted finished works to come. And I really trust Wei Ling in aesthetic. And I knew, I was very familiar with a lot of Malaysian artists and really admired and enjoyed the work. And I was really happy because she brought a really major showdown. They weren't minor pieces, they were major pieces. And I was thrilled to have the opportunity and so proud to host them in my gallery space. Mm-hmm.
What was the reception like?
Oh, it was great. You know, it was so super because we are always looking towards London and New York and what is happening there. A lot of young kids are copying what's happening there, hoping that a curator will see it. Look, curator, it's political. It's political. Please take me abroad. I can't work in Pakistan. Please export me. Please export. And it sells it, you know. I'm a suffering woman. I'm a suffering because of something or the other, please export me. And they're like, oh, of course we'll export you. We are so liberal. We understand. Let's take you abroad now. Whatever. But it was so nice to have just artwork. And the response was tremendous. Right. I mean, I was really, really happy. My city was engaged. And Karachi is a big, crazy place. You know, we are in city of 18 million, I think, because we haven't done a census for a while. But it's a crazy place, but it's engaged on all levels.
That's what I've always thought, right? Karachi, what comes to mind is a lot of unrest, a lot of,
anarchy.
Yes, but to have someone like you come in and talk so passionately about what
I can't help it. I was born and raised there, girl. That's my space. And it has, you know, whenever, for part of my castings, I always go into the bazaar. And I've been working with the same guy for 20 years. And I don't bring him to me and I don't set up the set because I need that plug. So whenever I'm feeling down or my batteries are running low, I just go to Mr. Aslam in the bazaar. And you go there and it's cacophonous and it's crowded and it's polluted and you have camels and people and rickshaws and this great South Asian crazy mix of people, of humanity. And for some reason, it's my charge. I get a little zzz.
Amazing. Simply amazing. So how do you think we can have better South-South dialogue rather than, you know, us looking to the West all the time?
Yeah, and it's not bad to look to the West. I just looking. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, more exchanges. You know, right now, this whole idea of workshop is very fashionable. But, you know, that's more for artist networking than for actually, what I'm interested in is seeing good Pakistani work displayed here and more sort of like just exhibitions traveling around. What's happening next door? How are you interpreting things?
And for us to appreciate what, you know, our neighbors are doing.
Exactly. Yeah. What's going on, dude?
Yeah.
You know, like recently some gallery had a Thai show, which was really, for me, wonderful. And our last show we had in the gallery, and my gallery is non-profit. I only do two shows or one show a year. So when you do a show, it attracts a lot of attention. And the last show we did was 25 works from Africa. New media, photo, video and sound, and 25 works from Pakistan. And I curated it, and Dominique Malaké, the woman who ruined my life, curated it, and Kidiatu Diallo. Dominique Malaké has done a PhD now and is very important, Africanist, whatever. So she had to come and pay her dues in Karachi. So we did this great show, and it was wonderful. You know, again, a South-South, city-to-city dialogue.
Yeah, fantastic work. I hear that you will be giving a performance at the opening of the exhibition.
Well, no, because of the installation. This time around, there won't be a performance, and I want everybody else to perform by just walking through mine and Chave's piece, you know?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Cosmic Mambo features at Wei Ling Contemporary at the Gardens Mall from today, the 12th of September, until the 10th of October. Now, admission is free and opening hours are from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m.
daily.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you want to meet this
meet
lovely Amin Goji. I mean, he will be at the official opening.
On the 14th.
Yes, on Wednesday, the 14th of September. And if you'd like to meet also His Excellency, Mr. Masoud Khalid, the High Commissioner for Pakistan to Malaysia. He will be there with Amin at
He's been really, really kind.
At the gallery.
He's been very, very kind and
I'm sure he has. Yeah. But you do good work too, Amin.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just, at this point, you're just exhausted.
Thank you for joining us. If you need more information, you can call 017-887-7216 or email wailingart@gmail.com or visit wailing-gallery.com. So that's starting today, opening night on the 14th if you want to meet Amin.
Thank you so much, Mira.
You're
just
welcome.
Wonderful and beautiful.
Thank you for joining us today, and we hope to have you on again.
Oh, inshallah. Thank you, Mira.
Amin Gulji, the sculptor, talking to us about the art exhibition called Cosmic Mambo on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.